I don't understand the technology of this, but my wife says that now she's able to listen in the car. For some reason, why you tell her it wasn't working, this is working. And as I left the house today, she turns to me, she said, maybe you should review a little bit before you start again. So I said, what do you mean? She said, nah, just, okay. Well, I'm starting to maybe think we should take myself off.
You can also follow. You can also do, if you hit follow every time, it automatically sends you the email.
Okay, so let's chaz a little bit. I'm not going to review the details because I feel that perhaps we could get bogged down on the details, the nuances of how the Chazanish deduced his shita. What's important for us to know is that the Chazanish argues that there's a single Gemara, single Maimer Chazal, which according to many Rishonim, he agrees that not all Rishonim learn like this. But according to the Baal Amar, there is a single Gemara which addresses the issue head-on of the dateline, and therefore the Chazanish's opinion is that we have to follow that. What does the Gemara say? Again, remember that the issue of the dateline is basically asking where does the world begin and where does it end, which is hard. If you imagine the globe, imagine a ball, a basketball, you want to know where does the basketball begin and where does it end. That's a very difficult question to answer. It's a circle. There is no beginning, there is no end. But because we know that, because of our calendar, not only Jewish calendar, just because we know that the way we measure a day is that from sunrise to sunset, and if a person were to follow the sunrise around the earth, so eventually the sun would be rising the same exact place. So at what point does a person say, you know, this is the beginning of the day, this is a new day, and therefore it turns into Wednesday, it's no longer Tuesday. Again, just to give us, for those that weren't here, give us the simple example which brings it all to light, is that if a person, let's say, wakes up in New York and the sun is rising in New York, and it's a nice, beautiful Sunday morning in New York, and he knows as the sun continues to rise going west, so now it's not only Sunday morning in New York, now it's Sunday morning in Montana, eventually it's Sunday morning in Los Angeles. He's following the sun around the globe. And then he goes, he crosses the ocean, and it's Sunday morning. Eventually, he's going to meet himself back in New York. And what's he going to say? It's Sunday morning in New York? No, it has to be Monday morning in New York because yesterday was Sunday morning in New York. But at what point do you say that it's no longer the previous day? Now we're starting a new day. You could look at the question as follows. When did the first day begin? Where was the sun at that first moment when the Ribbono Shel Olam put the sun in the sky? Where was that very first sunrise of creation? If you knew where the very first sunrise of creation was, so that was the first day, then by the time the sun got around, obviously we know the sun doesn't move, but by the time the sunrise got to that same location, so then we would know it would be the next day. But for our purposes, where we're not clear where that first sunrise was, so we have to make a decision. Where does the day change? At what point do we say it's no longer Sunday? It's no longer a sunrise on Sunday. It's no longer Sunday morning. Now it is Monday morning. Is that clear? It's the problem of why is the need for a dateline 100% clear? Because if it's not necessary, so the shir will actually be somewhat useless. Because if you don't have the issue, so then we don't have to figure out the problem. So again, just to make it 100% clear, another way to look at it, we explained last week, just because different people are able to grasp it in different ways. If a person picks a point on the globe, let's say he picks Eretz Yisrael. So Eretz Yisrael, he knows right now it's 12 o'clock p.m. in Eretz Yisrael. You know that if you go far to the west, it's a little bit earlier. You're getting earlier and earlier. You're getting earlier and earlier and earlier. But when it's 12 o'clock p.m. in Eretz Yisrael, so in New York, it's still not 12 o'clock p.m. yet. It's much before that. So 12 o'clock p.m. on a Sunday in Eretz Yisrael, if you continue to go west, you'll get earlier and earlier and earlier. It won't be Sunday. It'll still be, eventually, still be Shabbos, right? If you continue to go east, so it's going to be later and later, right? Go east from Eretz Yisrael. It's not going to be 12 o'clock p.m. It's going to be 1 o'clock p.m. Depending on how far east you go, it's going to be 2 o'clock p.m., 3 o'clock p.m., right? So the more east you go, the later in time it gets. The more west you go, the earlier it gets. But because the earth is a globe, so eventually these two people that are one's going east and one's going west are going to meet at the same place. And they're going to be on different days. Because the person going west was going backwards in time. He was thinking that I'm going backwards and it's not 12 o'clock, it's getting earlier, 11 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 9 o'clock. Eventually he gets to the middle of the globe and he's earlier before the time of Eretz Yisrael. But the guy going to the east was counting going later. So how could the same people meet and it's two separate days? This is a basic problem of the dateline. You have to pick a point of where we decide the beginning of the earth is, the end of the earth is, and that's the place where we say, now the sun got to this point again, okay, we start a new day. That's the issue of a dateline. What was the Chazon Ish's opinion? The Chazon Ish's opinion was that since there is a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah that tells us that we cannot be Mekadesh the Chodesh, we can't decide that it's going to be Rosh Chodesh, unless by deciding, if I decide that today is Rosh Chodesh, it has to be that the entire day, somewhere in the world, the entire day will experience Rosh Chodesh. That means that if I want to be Mekadesh HaChodesh right now, I have to ascertain, I have to make sure that there's still a part in the world, a place in this world, that didn't start this day yet. Let's say I want to make Wednesday Rosh Chodesh. Says the Baal Amor, based on the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, we have to make sure, if I'm going to make Wednesday Rosh Chodesh, I have to make sure that there's a place in the world that hasn't started their Wednesday yet. Because if every place in the world has already started Wednesday, then there won't be a single place in the world that their entire Wednesday is Rosh Chodesh. Therefore, I can't make Wednesday Rosh Chodesh. I have to make Thursday Rosh Chodesh. If you want to make Wednesday Rosh Chodesh, it has to be that there is some location on the globe that hasn't started Wednesday, and therefore in that place, the entirety of Wednesday, from beginning to end, will be Rosh Chodesh. Therefore, says the Baal Amor, we have to know where is the last place in the world to experience Tuesday. Which geographical location is the last place for it to become Wednesday? If I have to know, Al Pidin, when there will be a place in the world that still hasn't started Wednesday, I want to go to that very edge of the globe where I could decipher that this is the last place, and therefore, this is the place I want to look at. If they haven't started Wednesday yet, I'm allowed to be Mekadesh L'Chodesh. If they haven't started Wednesday yet, that means that there will be a place on the globe that hasn't started the day of Wednesday, I'm allowed to be Mekadesh L'Chodesh. But I want to know what the very last place is, because I want to look at the place which I want to give myself the most leeway to be Mekadesh HaKodesh. So I don't want to look at a place in the world to say, is it Wednesday yet? It could be that that's not, it could be a place farther east or farther west will still have the entirety of Wednesday. So I have to know where in the world do they experience every particular day the latest. If I know where in the world they begin every single day the latest, they're the last ones to experience Wednesday, they're the last ones to experience Thursday, because after them, it changes to the next day. So then I can know where when I want to be Mekadesh Chodesh, I have to look at that location, say, did the day switch yet? Is it still Tuesday? If it's still Tuesday, that means the entirety of Wednesday will be Rosh Chodesh. I could be Mechadesh, the Chodesh of Wednesday. So the Baal Amor says, we have to know, where is that last location on the globe? Where is that place that will experience every day the last in the entire world? And based on that, I will be able to tell whether I could be Mechadesh or Chodesh. Says the Baal Amor, based on his understanding of the Gemara and Rosh Hashanah, that the Gemara Rosh Hashanah tells us that if you're being Mekadesh the Chodesh before Chatzos, let's say 12 o'clock in Eretz Yisrael, that means that there is still a place in the globe, let's say it's a Wednesday. So it's Wednesday in Eretz Yisrael, 11:59 before Chatzos, Chazal say, if it's 11:59, that means there is a place in the world that hasn't started the day yet. The final place in the world, the last place on the globe, has not begun the day yet, and therefore you could be Mekadesh L'Chodesh, and therefore when they start Wednesday, it will be Rosh Chodesh. But if it's after Chatzos, if it's 12 o'clock or 12:01, says the Gemara, then every place around the globe has already begun their Wednesday, you can no longer be Mekadesh L'Chodesh. Therefore, based on that, says the Baal Amor, if Eretz Yisrael at Chatzos, that's when the last place in the world is experiencing the last moments of Tuesday. And right when we get to Chatzos, that means the sun is going to set in that place, and then the sun will rise in the next place, and it'll be Wednesday already. The last place in the world for the sun to set on a specific day is 6 hours before 12 o'clock. Because 12 o'clock, we know Chatzos, the Gemara tells us that at Chatzos, that is when the sun is, let's say, in the middle. when it's Chatzos Hayom for Eretz Yisrael, that means that right then is when the last day, the day was final for the last place in the world. That means the sun just set. Where did the sun set just now? If the sun is, if it's 12 o'clock by me, that means that on a perfect day, the sun just set where it's 6 o'clock, right? Assuming a perfect day, so you have 12 hours of night, 12 hours of day, it means it's a 6 to 6. So sun rises at 6 a.m., sun sets at 6 p.m. So I want to know, at Chatzos, in Eretz Yisrael, where is the sun setting? If I figure out where the sun sets, when it's Chatzos in Eretz Yisrael, where's the sun setting at that point in time? Where in the world is experiencing a sunset? That will be the last place. I will know that it's the last place in the world to experience that particular day. So what do? It's very simple. You go 6 hours to the east of Eretz Yisrael. Because, again, a 6 to 6 day, you assume it's a perfect day. We'll work with a perfect day. And therefore, 12 o'clock is Chatzos. I want to know when sunset. 6 p.m. is sunset. I go 6 hours east. They're experiencing sunset right now. And that's where the Chazon Ish puts the dateline. Where is the dateline? 6 hours east of Yerushalayim, which is 90 degrees. Again, 24 degrees, 360 degrees for the entire globe, divided into 24. That means that 6 hours, half of the circumference of the globe will be 12 hours. A quarter, which is 90 degrees, a quarter, which is 6 hours of the day, is going to be a quarter of 360, is going to be 90 degrees. So Chazon Ish says, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah tells us, just for clarity, let's clarify. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah tells us that when the Chatzos Hayom in Yerushalayim is being experienced, the last place in the world is experiencing sunset. Says the Chazon Ish. Okay, very easy. So when it's Chatzos Hayom in Yerushalayim, let me see now, who is experiencing sunset? He went and he found that it was 90 degrees east of Yerushalayim. We'll see exactly where that is on the globe. 90 degrees east of Yerushalayim, that becomes the beginning and end of the globe. That's the Chazon Ish's calculation. And as you see on your map, where does that put you?
How do you divide land on
where does that put?
It's only 270 degrees because for the Gemara, right? 270 degrees because you want to start the day.
Yeah.
270 degrees. Where, you want to have the other side.
Yeah, 18 hours ahead
to the New York side.
Right.
The New York side.
Right. Right. Same thing though. On a bowl, it's the same thing.
I understand,
right.
But that's what the Gemara said, that you need the whole day.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
The whole of Wednesday.
Exactly.
The entire line is not the same sunrise and sunset as in Yerushalayim, 6 hours later.
What?
If you take some parallel from Yerushalayim east, fine. But what about southeast?
What?
You're drawing a line through.
We assume that the line has to be the same level longitude on the entire globe.
But it's not the same day in Australia as is in China. The sun does not rise the same time in Australia as it does in China. It's on the line.
Right. So, therefore what?
So why do you say that's where they begin?
They're telling, the Gemara is telling you, the Gemara is telling you where the last place on the earth is. You're right. So, in terms on this line, that's the last place on the earth. You go higher, go... Right, exactly.
Zigzag line.
Before we get complicated, let's try to figure out the simple case. And so, take a look at page 4 where the Chazon Ish's line is demarcated in blue. Why is that the line? Again, very simple. According to the Chazon Ish, he took Yerushalayim. He saw when the sun was in the middle of the sky, when it was Chatzos in Yerushalayim. Where is the sun setting? That's what the Gemara told me. Wherever the sun's setting over there, that is beginning the new day, and the sun was setting along this line at that time. And therefore, if the sun has, wherever a person, if a person is to the right of this line, he is prior to the international days, before the international dateline, the day switches when he crosses that line. So that means that a person experiences, on the right of that line, he experiences Tuesday morning when the sun rises, but when the sun rises over that line, just a few hours later, so then already it's no longer Tuesday morning, then already it is Wednesday morning. Now you have big issues according to the Chazon Ish, as you see, because the international dateline, which is assumed by the international community, is the black line that you see. Right? That means that if a person is in Siberia, all the places that are blue, or red for that matter, or in Japan, or in most of Australia, according to the Chazon Ish, the day has not switched yet. But according to the world, the day has switched. So it means when the world is telling you that it's Saturday, according to the Chazon Ish, it's really Friday. And when the world is telling you that it's Sunday, then according to the Chazon Ish, it is Shabbos. Because the day doesn't switch when the sun crosses the black line. The day switches when the sun crosses the blue line.
That's using Yerushalayim as the focal point of the Chazon Ish.
Yes.
Why?
Why?
Why use Yerushalayim?
Because he thinks the Gemara is telling us that explicitly. He thinks from the fact that the Gemara tells us, that if you are Mekadesh the Chodesh before Chatzos, then there will be a place in the world that will experience the entirety of the day as Rosh Chodesh. That means, where is the last place to experience a day? Based on Yerushalayim, it's 90 degrees before. But you can't choose it. That's what the Gemara is telling us. The Gemara is telling us the beginning of the earth is this line. That's where the sun begins to rot. It's on a new day, and that's when the day ends. It's not really relative to Yerushalayim. It happens to be 90 degrees relative to Yerushalayim. But he's not using Yerushalayim to figure it out. He's telling us this is what the Gemara says. The Gemara says the last place to experience a day is in Siberia. This line, that is the last place to experience any particular day. That's the Shita of the Chazon Ish. And in fact, there are many Poskim that went with this. If you ask any Brisker, the Brisker Rav, Paskin like this, Halacha L'maisa, the way you see it on this map, he Paskin that if you're in that part of Australia, then you have to keep Shabbos on Sunday. If you're in that part of Siberia, you have to keep Shabbos on Sunday. The Chazon Ish himself, however, did veer slightly off of this Shita. Take a look at an interesting Maramakam. And again, we mentioned last time that it's not only the Chazon Ish, but the Chazon Ish proves that it's not only the Baal Amar, but it's also the Kuzari as well. Says this explicitly, that the dateline is 90 degrees to the east of Yerushalayim. We mentioned last time that they bolstered their opinion by explaining that Yerushalayim is described as Tabur Haaretz, is the center of the earth. And they explained that, according to many, what that means is the center of the civilized, the settled land. The settled land meant that hemisphere, that part of the hemisphere, which was settled at the time. They weren't considering America at all. Therefore, where is the center of that hemisphere? So they said the center of that hemisphere is Yerushalayim, and that's why you go 90 degrees to the east of Yerushalayim, that is the beginning. There, their argument already is that Yerushalayim is the center of the world. But the Chazon Ish's main argument has nothing to do with Yerushalayim being the center of the world. It's just that the Gemara told me that when you want to know the last place to experience a day, the last place to experience a day is find out where the sun is setting when it's Chatzos Hayom in Yerushalayim. Wherever the sun is setting at that time, that means that is the last place to experience a day. And again, it turns out to be 90 degrees east of Yerushalayim. They said, oh, because Yerushalayim must be the center of this part of the hemisphere, this half of the civilized, the settled earth. Take a look at Maramakam number one. Maramakam number one is a fascinating Maramakam. You take a look, it's Tshuvas Min HaShemayim. What are Tshuvas Min HaShemayim? Tshuvas Min HaShemayim were a compilation of Tshuvas written by one of the Rishonim. His name was Rabbi Yaakov Mimarvish. One of the Rishonim, he's actually quoted by the Beis Yosef. Now, his most famous work is called Tshuvas, Shailas Tshuvas Min HaShemayim. What was so special about these Tshuvas? What was so special about them is that they were Min HaShemayim. He describes in his Hakdama that he had many Sfeikas in life. He had different things that he couldn't get clear. No matter how hard he learned the Sugya, He didn't get clarity. Tefillin, Rabbeinu Tam, Rashi, he didn't get clarity. What's the halach l'maisa? So, what are you doing? You don't get clarity? We know what you do. You ask the Rabbeinu Shlom, you write a little thing, you go to sleep, put it under your pillow, and you hope you have a dream about what the answer is. So this might not work for you at home, but for him this works. And he gets these cryptic answers, and he writes what the answers are. Rav Reuven Margolyes put out a new Tshuvas Min HaShemayim a number of years ago, obviously, where he tries to explain what these very cryptic answers are. A lot of times they tell him, we're not answering you. Who do you think you are? You coming and asking? No, we don't have to answer you. Go learn the sigil like everyone else. So what he asked about the dateline. He asked, where is the dateline? Again, this is the Rishonim. He's quoted by the Beis Yosef. Rabbi Yaakov Miravish. Mar Malkam number one. Ve'oynist apaknu. Right, the Gemara we learned last, and we're not going to go through the Gemara again. A complicated Gemara. Skip to the second line. Vinosanu, vinosnu behem, v'tarachnu shevach liyitzreinu, v'yaganu liyisoid hasoid, v'estein b'neihem, kasher peshim rabbeinu zrachya. The only way we understand this Gemara Rosh Hashanah is based on the Baal HaMor we discussed last time. Baal HaMor explains this Gemara as having to deal with the dateline. Many other Rishonim disagree. But he says, we understand it based on the Baal HaMor. V'haya yoyim b'chav aleph b'tamuz, ula erev sha'alti. And that night, after we figured out the sugya, and we came out that the Baal HaMor makes the most sense, ula erev sha'alti, im yesh lismoch ala perish, sheperish b'em rashi, o am ha'ikr kasher perish reb zrachya. So we ask, should we paskin like Rashi? We ask the Rabbeinu Shalom, the Bezin Shalmala, do we paskin like Rashi, or do we paskin like Rabbeinu Zrachya? Happens to be, we don't have so much time to discuss this, but happens to be, this is very interesting, because the obvious problem with this work called Childish Tshuvas Min HaShemayim is that we have a rule of Lo B'Hashemayim. So many try to say that, yeah, we don't ask Piskei Halacha, we ask for explanation. Over here he's asking very clear. He's asking for Psak Halacha. I have Machloek is Rashi or Balmor. Who do we follow? And at that time, it probably didn't make such an afkamina for the dateline. But now, we're asking, if we follow the Baal HaMor, that means we paskin, the beginning of the world is 90 degrees east of Yerushalayim. We have a dateline question. What is the answer? Again, never a simple answer. V'heshivoy, maze miharta limtsoy b'ni, zarach b'choyshech or la yisharim. Zarach b'choyshech or la yisharim. The sun is shining for those straight. A play on words. Rebreinu Zrachya Halevi paskins like the Baal HaMor. So there are many Paiskim that went like the Baal HaMor. The Biskarov went straight like the Baal HaMor. That means draw the line 90 degrees east, and that means, theoretically, you could have a person on one side of the street in Australia that's making Kiddush, and at the very same time, you have a person on the other side of the street in Australia on the same street making Havdalah, because one just began Shabbos Kodesh, Friday night, starting Yom HaShabbos, and the other one, no, he's starting Motzei Shabbos. A very, very peculiar arrangement, which was one of the arguments, one of the claims against the Chazon Ish. Now let's take a look at some pieces of history. The main person to argue on the Chazon Ish was Rav Michal, Yechiel Michal Tukhachinsky. Yechiel Michal Tukhachinsky is one of the Gedolei Yerushalayim. He was probably considered to be the expert when it came to calendars and times and things of this nature. And he took issue with the Chazon Ish. But what's important to realize, what I want us to appreciate now, is sometimes history could lose sight of the flavor, what the machlokes was like, the flavor of the people, the individuals involved. I very much want to try to capture that, what was going on at the time, and the respect that they had for each other is very, very interesting. So Rabbi Yechiel Michal Tukhachinsky has issues with the Chazon Ish, and he seems to paskin against the Chazon Ish. He seems to paskin like the original poskim. If you remember, last week we discussed very clearly, we said very clearly that there were, before this all blew up with the Mir in Japan, there was a blow up already in World War I. And during World War I, the basic psak halacha was, we don't switch any days. Don't switch any days. That means if the world is telling you it's Shabbos, it's Shabbos. If the world is telling you it's Friday, it's Friday. If the world is telling you it's Sunday, it's Sunday. You never change the day. However, according to the Chazon Ish's Psak Halacha, in Kobe, Japan, where the Mir Yeshiva was, it's very clear. Where, what would you do with Japan? Japan is red. Japan is past the international date line. That means that the day has already switched for the world. But according to the Chazon Ish, the day hasn't changed yet. Because the Chazon Ish's international dateline is after Japan. So we have a place in Japan where the Mir Yeshiva is right now, Kobe, Japan. They're waiting, about to start Yom HaKippurim. The world is telling them that Yom Kippur is on Wednesday. And the Chazon Ish is telling them, no, Yom Kippur is not on Wednesday. Yom Kippur is on Thursday. The world is telling them that Shabbos is on Saturday. Chazon Ish is saying, no, the Shabbos is not on Saturday. For you, Saturday, what they're telling you is Saturday. That's really Yom HaShishi. That's really Friday. Because the day hasn't switched yet. The day is not changing until after Japan. Really, the last place to experience Friday is Japan. You think that the last place to experience it is Alaska. No, it's still Japan still experiencing it. And therefore, you have to keep Shabbos on what they're telling you is Sunday. So that was a tremendous chiddush. Until that point in time, everyone had always assumed that you keep the day that they tell you that it is. You never switch the day. So this was the history that Chazon Ish was coming into. He was coming against the tide. Everyone, no one had ever heard such a psak. We're going to change the day. They're saying it's Sunday. We're going to say, no, it's Shabbos. So the Chazon Ish writes to Rav Michal to Kaczynski because he hears that he disagrees with him. Take a look on page 8 in your booklet. Very little known piece of history. Chazon Ish, people think that the Chazon Ish was the Marad Shmaitza. He decided, and everyone else was coming to the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish wrote to Michal Tashvazinsky. He says, you disagree with me, let's try to figure this out. Not only that, in this volume that I have over here, they argue that Rav Michal himself originally sided with the Chazon Ish in an earlier work, and then he changed his mind. But listen how the Chazon Ish writes. Shemati, page 8. Shemati ki das kvoy toirosoi ki yoyim ha-shabbos b'mekomos ha-mizra chutz mi-tzadi malos mi-Yushalayim, that you hold that the international dateline is 90 degrees to the east of Yushalayim, hu kas gambas umas olam v'lo karazo v'akuzari v'lotzeis v'luzos v'luzos avakesh Lahamtzieni es akosav umefurish b'ze meis kvo terasa sheyichye kidei leayin b'ze uveyuni choshavti ki ein choylek b'ze al raza. No one argues with the Balaam word on this. Vishiluach b'ze hatik b'mashak kasavti. Chazon Ish writes to Michal to Kaczynski that he tells him, he says, I hear that you agree, you disagree with me. You don't want to change the dateline. You're agreeing with what the Umos HaOlam say the dateline is, and therefore they should keep Shabbos on Saturday. Says the Chazon Ish, please explain your shita to me, because I thought, I learned Shas, and I thought the only Gemara that talks about this is Rosh Hashanah, and the way the Baal HaMor discusses it, it should be 90 degrees east of Yushalayim. So what are you telling me that the dateline is elsewhere? Take a look at what Michal Tkachinsky responds to him on page 9. Take a look at the respect he accords him. Ilu sha'arti that the Chazon Ish osak afilu b'mektoya shekazeh. If I would have known that the Chazon Ish, that you were dealing with such issues, oisha yisi vade misyashe v'malas kvei teiros ga'oinoi v'terem kasavti tshuvasi, I would have for sure discussed it with you before writing my tshuva. Oisha yisi oimu lefanois, or I would have showed you the tshuva before. Uvayo shalo sha'arti lemi lebigdoi l'Yisrael efshe l'syashe v'dover kazeh. I didn't realize that you were oisek in these things, and therefore I have to explain to you how I came to my opinion. The Rav Michal Tkachinsky goes through the different options that he thinks are with the dateline. He ultimately concludes that it is not 90 degrees east of Yerushalayim, that the Yerushalayim is not the center of this hemisphere, but rather Yerushalayim is the center of the world. So if Yerushalayim is the center of the world, that means you want to know where the beginning of the world is, you have to go 180 degrees all the way to the other side of the world. Now, why does he favor that over what the Chazon Ish says? Take a look at where that would put you, back on page 4. We'll get that in a second. Take a look at page 4. The purple line. Rav Michal Tukhachinsky, his line is much, much safer, right? Because there are many more Jews that had issues with Australia and Siberia and all those places that the Chazon Ish was changing the day. According to Rav Michal Tukhachinsky, what changes? Basically, you just have some of Alaska, which were there are no Jews there at that point, and parts of Hawaii that you switch the day. But other than that, it's a fairly clean cut. So Rav Michal Tukhachinsky favors that approach, and he explains why he favors that approach for two basic reasons. Take a look at page 10.
That was what the international dateline was
prior to right.
It was once it became American.
Once it became, yeah. Yeah. American prominence, yeah. Take a look at page 10. Gimel, umishom sheshtei hashitas hakodmos lo muvanois klal. He explains the different shitas, and he says, I don't understand these reasons at all. Why am I siding with 180 degrees from Yerushalayim? Because it doesn't make sense to me, says the Rav Michal Tukhachinsky. It makes no sense to me that that predicament that we just described before is a possibility. How could it be that you have one landmass, that you have people on each side of a street? For one person, it's Shabbos. For the other person, it's Friday. How could such a thing be that you're in the middle, you're going to break up a landmass? It doesn't make any sense to him. It can't be. Oh, so why is he not bothered by Alaska? Because part of his issue is, you read it inside, is if it was true that parts of major continents, Australia, Siberia, so we would have heard about this. It's not possibly proved that in times of Gemara, for sure in the time of Rishonim, there were Jews there, there were communities there. If you're going to take up major continents, that we know there are Jewish communities there, there would have to be much more written about this. By the fact that we barely hear anything about it, and everything that we hear about it from all the Rishonim is just in theory, he says, obviously there's no major landmass, major where there's a Jewish community that has to worry about this issue if I'm constantly crossing. In Alaska, it's possible that the line was in Alaska and no one ever mentioned it. What were they dealing with? How many Jewish communities were there in Alaska? Therefore, his first problem is purely, he says, it doesn't make sense to me to say that the international dateline goes through a massive landmass and that within one country, within one city, you could have people that the day is Sunday and then the people right on the other side of the line, it is Shabbos. How could that be? Therefore, that is the first rejection he has. Based on that rejection, the Chazon Ish actually concedes. And we'll see later that we're going back and forth, and the Chazon Ish agrees that this is a concession. And the Chazon Ish says, you're right. And the Gemara is telling me in Rosh Hashanah that the real center of the world is 90 degrees east of Yerushalayim, like I argued from the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, says the Chazon Ish. But it's obvious to Chazal that we're not going to split up a landmass, and therefore we're going to go around the landmass. The line, the international dateline, is going to curve very much like the international dateline that the Umos HaOlam decided upon, also curves around landmasses. So the Chazon Ish concludes, not like the line that we saw. The Brisker Rav says, no, it goes straight through the landmass. Chazon Ish says, no, it's really 90 degrees to the east of Yerushalayim, like we said, but it goes all around, it curves together with the landmass. Therefore, what did the Chazon Ish just do? He basically just made it that Siberia and Australia is not a problem anymore. You don't have to switch it anymore, because he says that the international dateline curves together with the landmass. What is still a problem, according to the Chazon Ish?
Japan.
Curves right or left.
It curves with the landmass to the right. What?
So it's going to go around.
At that point, there was. That was the problem he was doing.
It's going to go around the line.
No, it only the land, any part which is part of the mainland, gets to get the din of the land. But once you're on an island, once you're off the mainland, then you go with.
Once you're in the water.
Once you're in the water, then you go with whatever side of the dateline you're on. So the Chazon Ish does concede to Rav Michal Tukhachinsky on that aspect. He does say that it's going to, I agree with you, it's not going to cut up a single landmass. You'll never have a situation where two people on different sides of the same street are going to be on different days. But still, Japan, Chazon Ish said, still, I'm not agreeing. Japan, on their Saturday, it's really Friday. On their Sunday, that's when you have to keep Shabbos.
Japan, Guam, and New Guinea. Japan, Guam, and New Guinea.
Those are the right. Those are the issues where Guam. Those are the places where Chazon Ish would say 100% you keep Shabbos when they tell you it's Sunday. That is your Shabbos. And New Zealand. And New Zealand.
No, so now how does that factor in?
It's not true. It's not true. It's not true. It's not true.
It's not true. The world is not flat. But they thought it was.
That's not true either. Okay, we'll discuss that. That's a different shiur. The Gemara Yerushalmi says in Rosh Hashanah that this world is like a kadur.
It says that they thought it was flat.
No.
Yerushalmi says it's flat. This is
okay, that's totally separate. We don't have time for this right now. So, but this is one of the best rayas that Chazal understood that it was.
Maybe that whole Gemara is based on that theory that it was flat.
Okay, we'll argue about this after. So, let's get it straight. So that was the first claim of Rav Michal to Kaczynski. He says that it can't be that you have a single landmass which is broken up. And the Chazon Ish, as we will see, he actually concedes to that. We'll see in many of his letters. And he says, fine, it goes around. Again, Rav Michal to Kaczynski, his argument is that Yerushalayim, Eretz Yisrael, is the center, but not like the Chazon Ish said, it's the center of this hemisphere, it's the center of the entire globe, and therefore you go 180 degrees to the other side. So we have two basic shittas in halacha so far, either 90 degrees to the east of Yerushalayim, or 180 degrees to the east of Yerushalayim. Now let's take a look at what Michal Tukhachinsky's second problem is. His second claim against the Chazon Ish is as follows. Take a look at Dalet, still on page 10. Tam Sheni, Nirali Nis Daiti, Shaloi Le Shanois Es Yoim HaShabbos. You want to know another reason I disagree with you, Chazon Ish? I don't believe in changing Shabbos. If everyone there in that place is telling me it's Saturday, we're not going to change Shabbos and say that you keep Shabbos on Sunday. If the whole world thinks that this is Saturday, so we're going to assume it's Saturday unless you know 100% that it's not Saturday. Says Michal Tukhachinsky, I don't want to change a day. I don't want to go and tell people, you be Michal Shabbos on Saturday and keep Shabbos on Sunday. You fast on the day that they're telling you it's Yom Kippur. No, you don't have to fast, you could eat. You fast on the day that they think is already after Yom Kippur. If a day has a chazakah and everyone in the world has always assumed that it's this day, so we are going to assume that as well, and you have to go with the chazakah. Now, obviously, the Chazon Ish would respond to this. You would only go with the chazakah, we know, when you have a suffix. The Chazon Ish says, I don't have a suffix. I'm 100% sure. It's the previous day. It's not the day that they're telling me. If I had a suffix, you're right. I would go with the chazakah. You assume it's Saturday, so I'll assume it's Saturday. Chazon Ish says, I don't have a suffix. The Gemara told me that this is not Shabbos, this is Friday. That when is Shabbos in these places, the day that they're calling Sunday is Shabbos in these places. So therefore the Chazon Ish is not bothered by this at all. But this does give us insight into something absolutely fascinating. Take a look at the continuation of this piece in Rav Michal Tukhachinsky. Vahare lanu kal v'choymer. He brings in an interesting Gemara, which gives birth to a whole new concept. A Gemara which others have mentioned last week, and I want to take this slowly, try to understand what the Gemara is saying. Vahare lanu kal v'choymer, midin ha-hoylech b'midbar, ve'eino yodeya be'ezo yom hu omeh. The Gemara talks about a person gets lost in the midbar, he doesn't have his iPhone on him, so he forgets what day it is. He doesn't know what day it is. Says the Gemara, I don't know when Shabbos is, so what do? The Gemara says, you count 6 days, and the seventh day you rest, you keep Shabbos. V'halo dvarim kavachomer, says Rav Michal Tukhachinsky, if in the time where I have no idea what day it is, I count 6 and keep the seventh of Shabbos, so here also, where we have a chazakah that this is considered to be Saturday, misafik, I'm going to switch it. That's the argument he makes. Two arguments. First of all, I don't want to break up any major landmass, especially a landmass where there were clearly Jews for hundreds and hundreds of years and we haven't heard anything about it. And second of all, we're Mesupak. At the end of the day, we don't know it 100%. You're going to take a day. A day has a chazakah. The whole world assumes that it's Saturday. We're going to assume it's Saturday. We're not going to switch it unless we're 100% sure. Those are the two basic arguments of Rav Michal Tukhachinsky. Now, just to clarify, just to make 100%, make sure everything's clear. If it's not clear, please ask. Please ask, because this is a hard thing to explain. And if I'm not explaining it well, I want to know. So we have two shitas. Where does the world begin? Where does the day begin? Where does Tuesday turn to Wednesday? Where does Wednesday turn to Thursday? The sun's continuously rising. So at what point do we say it's no longer Tuesday, now it's Wednesday? The world tells us the dateline, which works out best for them because it's in the middle of the ocean. Rav Michal Tukhachinsky says that it happens right before Alaska. And the Chazon Ish says it happens right after Japan. That means that the world is telling us in Japan on Sunday that it's Saturday. According to the Chazon Ish, the day hasn't changed yet. It's still Friday. Not until the world tells us it's Sunday, it's going to be Shabbos. And the reverse is true for Rav Michal Tukhachinsky. When the world tells me that in Alaska it's Friday, because the day doesn't change till after it gets past, the sun gets past Alaska, says Rav Michal, no. The world, the day changes before Alaska. So when do you have to keep Shabbos? When you're in Alaska and when you're in Hawaii? On Friday. So a person wants to know, I'm going to Alaska or Hawaii or Australia, you have... or Japan, let's say. Australia is a bigger suffix, because whether you break up a landmass, the basic questions for the dateline are going to be a person traveling either to Alaska, to Hawaii, or to Japan. Now, that doesn't mean the same thing in every place. You have to know where you're going. If you're crossing Rav Michal's line, so then that means you're going to keep Shabbos when it's Friday, because the world tells you that the day didn't change yet, but we know Apidin, the day changed yet. But if you're going with the Chazon Ish's line, that means there are certain places where the day, Shabbos, is really going to be Sunday, because the world told you the day switched it already, but we say, no, the day doesn't switch till it gets past this line of the Chazon Ish, and therefore, in Japan, you have to keep Shabbos on Sunday, but in Alaska, you're keeping Shabbos on Friday. These were the two basic shitas. Now, there's such a lack of clarity going on. Again, in the year 1941, the Mir Yeshiva is stuck in Kobe, Japan, and Yom Kippur is approaching, and they don't know what day they're going to keep Yom Kippur. They don't know what day to keep Shabbos. Again, according to the Chazon Ish, they're supposed to keep Sunday. According to the Chazon Ish, they should be keeping what is Thursday. The rest of the world is keeping Wednesday as Yom Kippur. They don't know what to do. So to clarify matters, it's unclear whether they were asked to get involved or whether they got involved on their own volition. It depends who you ask. The Rav HaRavshi, Rav Herzog, decides he's going to make a meeting of all the Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael, and we're going to decide this for once and for all. Rav Michal Tukhachinsky was invited to the meeting to present his case. The Chazon Ish didn't go to the meeting. He wouldn't have got his old man already. He was in Bnei Brak. He didn't go to the meeting, but we'll see there is a lot of correspondence between it. Rav Michal Tukhachinsky presents his case, and the way that most of history records it is that he was convincing. And the Rabbanim at that meeting in 1941 in Rav Herzog's house decide that we're going to paskin like Rav Michal Tukhachinsky, which means that basically for Japan, nothing changes whatsoever. The line is by Alaska. We don't have to worry about it until Jews decide to take a cruise to Alaska or Hawaii many, many decades later. But we don't have to worry about that right now, because in Japan, nothing changes. We're going to go with Rav Michal Tukhachinsky's line of logic. Now, it was interesting to note is that there's another player involved over here, a very well-known player, that has a little bit of a different recording, account, of the history that took place. And that is none other than Rav Menachem Mendel Kasher. We've discussed Rav Kasher before. Rav Kasher, a tremendous goyin, brilliant person, was a tremendous, tremendous Talmid Chacham. And he was at that meeting as well. And he suggests a mind-boggling ashita. But not only does he suggest a new opinion, not like the Chazon Ish, not like Rav Michal Tukhachinsky. He also argues that everyone at the meeting agreed with him, and that everyone in the world agreed with him, after he explained to them his shita. I know it's a little bit late. Let's go a little bit further, because I think if I push you for more than one more week, I don't know what's going to happen. So let's try to take a look at Rav Mendel Kasher. He published a whole sefer on the international dateline. I didn't have patience to go through the whole sefer, so there's an abridged version, which is also quite long, published in Hapardes. He explains in his Hakdama to the abridged version that really, he's gone through all the literature on this topic, And he basically decided there are 80 different opinions on the international dateline, right? So we could do this for the rest of the year if you want. There are 80 different opinions, but he's going to summarize over here. He's only going to bring what he brings, like, I think, 24 shittas. We're going to summarize that. We're only going to discuss the one shita that he's mechadish and that he sizes. But take a look how he records the history. It's fascinating. On page 21. Ba'alosi Arza, this is, we could go over with this because it's like a story. Ba'alosi, we don't have to think so hard. Ba'alosi Arza, Bekayetz, Tavshin Yud Gimel. Hiru li sheze'ata hofil la'or b'Yushalayim, Sefer Chodosh HaYushalmi, Mirava Godo. And the Sefer was printed, so nekuda diletata. Al davar kivias takav hatarich. A new Sefer came out, this was well after 41, where the problem with the whole machlekes had erupted. And they came out with a new sefer on the Kavatach. Hamechaber masik lalacha. But I looked at the conclusion of that mechaber. Shetzrichim l'shanos, and he decides to side with the Chazon Ish. And therefore, shetzrichim l'shanos shvisas yom haShabbos anoga yom b'chelak masin from China, Yafan, Australia, Siberia al yom rishon. And he tells people that are in Australia, he tells people in Japan to keep Shabbos when it's Sunday. And that's a valid shita. That's the shita of the Brisker Rav, of the Chazon Ish. You follow that line, you're keeping Shabbos on Sunday. But this is going to cause a certain laxity, a zilzal of Shabbos. People are going to see Jews walking around on Saturday, driving cars. Yeah, it's not Shabbos, it's Saturday. Rav Kasha says, can't be. Can't be that we're keeping Shabbos on Sunday. All of a sudden, we're Christians, we keep Shabbos on Sunday. Doesn't make any sense. Bikshu imenu lano yisol zeh. So therefore, people came to me and they asked me to write. Al pi az manosol shal rava roshi agen, Rav Herzog shlita. Hirtzesi pa'amayim lefnei kal, shal chachamim gedoylem b'tayir Yerushalayim. I was asked from Rav Herzog, just like Rav Michal Tukachinsky was asked to present, I was asked to present as well, he says. Birarti lefneim yisoy deshayil, and I explained to them the essence of the question. Vidasa rishoynim v'acharoynim, and all the literature. Sha'ikr lehalacha she'en l'shanos as a Shabbos Yom Kippur. That we never switch a Shabbos from a Saturday to a Sunday or a Yom Kippur. B'shum makom ba'olam, not a single place in the world. Not Alaska, not Australia, not Japan, says Rav Kasher. There's not a single place in the world where we are going to go against what the world tells us. Now this is already interesting. How could you do that? Well, it happened to be that in Greenwich, when they decided the international dateline, they got it exactly what the Rebbeinu Shlom decided. The Rebbeinu Shlom gave them Nevuah. How could you tell me that there isn't a single place in the world where the day is different than the Umos HaOlam? That means that they got the international dateline 100% correct.
They counted 7 days and they said here.
So let's see. Says the Gemara, says Rav Kasher. Klomer lola achrel yom rishon biyapan v'lo Australia shu achrel kav tishin be'eretz Yisrael v'lo lagdima lo yom shishi be'im shoynim koydim kav me'er shmoynim me'eretz Yisrael. Kein bi'arti hashita. This is my opinion. Shelehalacha ein lanu kav tarich min ha'toyrah. There is no concept of dateline in the Torah. The Torah doesn't have such a concept. Yesh lanu rak mizrach umarav ha'olam. We start the world in Eretz Yisrael. We know that when you go east, it gets later and later. We know when you go west, it gets earlier and earlier. But we never deal with what happens when you meet. The Torah doesn't deal with such a thing. How's it possible? Then you're just continuously living Tuesday and Tuesday and Tuesday. A day never switches. What do you mean the Torah doesn't recognize Kav HaTarech? The Torah was given to a different world? How is it possible? We accept what the Umos HaOlam tell us. Says Rav Kasher, there's no such thing. The whole shir is useless. We don't have a concept of Kav HaTarech. Rav Chazon is telling me that the world begins 90 degrees east of Yerushalayim. So Rav Michal is telling me it begins 180 degrees east of Yerushalayim. Says Rav Kasher, we don't need it. We don't deal with such things. We just use whatever. If the Umos HaOlam tell us it's Tuesday, it's Tuesday. If the Ummah is Eilam, tell us it's Wednesday, we don't ask any questions. That's what. Now, where in the world does he get this from?
But so, the Eilam switches on their dateline.
On their dateline. And he's arguing we're allowed to follow that. It's a Pella. How could we follow that? We're going to follow what they decided is that they made an artificial, and they agreed to this. There's no secrets over here. They made an artificial decision when Tuesday becomes Wednesday, when Wednesday becomes Thursday, when it's Shabbos. Totally artificial, based on what was convenient for them. Says Rav Kasher, we are going to follow them. That means that because they had a conference in the 19th century in Greenwich, England, that today was Shabbos, all of a sudden we're keeping Shabbos. And if I'm mechallel Shabbos today, I have to bring a Karban Chatas. If I'm mechallel Shabbos on a different day, I don't bring a Karban Chatas. Because they decided, how in the world does that make any sense?
They followed the Gemara. If they didn't know the date, they picked the date. They went 6 days and they said today.
So everyone's coming back to this Gemara like this Gemara is going to save the day. The truth of the matter is this Gemara, according to the overwhelming majority of Rishonim, has nothing to do with us. And let's jump into it. Everyone is given permission to leave when they want. I know I'm going over, but desperate times calls for desperate measures. So let's take a look at this Gemara on the new sheet I gave. It's not too much longer. The new sheet I gave was the note says the Gemara in Meseches Shabbos, the first Maramakam. Amar Rav Huna, says Rav Huna. You're walking in the desert. And you don't know when Shabbos is. You count 6 days, and the seventh day is Shabbos. Do you count 6 days and then keep Shabbos like Bria Sa'olam? Or do you keep Shabbos then count 6 days like Adam Arishon's life? He first kept Shabbos, he was created only on the sixth day. So that's the question. Do you count six, then seven? And ultimately the Gemara decides, you count six, the seventh day is Shabbos. But the Gemara says, but you have to work. What day am I going to not do Malacha? Says the Gemara, I can't just decide which day not to do Malacha. I have no idea what day Shabbos is. Says the Gemara, I can't do Malacha any day. I'm not allowed to do it any of the days. Says the Gemara, you're going to die, you don't do Malacha. How are you supposed to eat? So the Gemara says, fine. In order to ensure that you don't die, you're allowed to do Malacha every single day. Because it's Pikuach Nefesh. There is no difference in terms of doing Malacha. The Gemara says, there is no difference between any of the days. There's no difference between the first 6 days and the seventh day. I'm walking in the Midbar, all of a sudden I have to be concerned that every single one of those days is Shabbos. That's the din. And therefore I can't do Malacha any day. I'm going to die, okay, even if it's Shabbos. You're going to die, you're allowed to do Malacha. That has nothing to do with it. So then why am I making, what does the Gemara mean that the seventh day is Shabbos? Says the Gemara, you do Kiddush and Avdalah. Says Rashi, why do I do Kiddush and Avdalah on that seventh day? It's not like that Shabbos more than any other day. Says Rashi, next Mar Malkam, Lizzie Karan Ba'alma, because we don't want you to forget about Shabbos. We don't want to forget the concept of Shabbos, right? What are you going to think? You're going to go around thinking, you're going to stay in this situation for a few years, you're going to come around thinking that Jews aren't allowed to work. You're not allowed to work any day. Every day is Shabbos, right? So we want to, that was, I knew what I was doing. I'm making sure you guys are still up. I knew exactly what I was walking into. So says Rashi, Lizzi Koran Ba'alma, Sheyehe Loisham Yoim Cholok Misha Yameh, Viloy Tishtaker Shabbos Mimeno. What are you telling me? The dateline, we just count 6 days. That's a din derabanan. It has nothing to do with anything. Midaraisa. There's no concept of counting 6 days. I'm going to make my own Shabbos. I got lost. I'll make my own Shabbos. I'm going to count 6 days. I'm going to keep the seventh day. No, you can't do that. Every day is Shabbos. Every day is a suffix Shabbos. Why do I make Kiddush Avdalah? Because midaraban, we don't want to forget about the concept of Shabbos. It's such a beautiful concept. The Ritva as well. Take a look at the Maximar Malkam, the Ritva. Perish Ramu Alelam Evidachi Kidei Sheloi Tishtakech Ter Shabbos Edin Darabanan. Take a look at the Meiri. Ubama Yaker Ba'isa Yoim Shu Shabbos Bekiddush Vavdala Shu Mekadesh Beknisasa Umavdu Beitiyasu. Ain't the halacha? Don't tell me that it really gets the essence of Shabbos. No. We have no idea what day Shabbos is. This is just to remind you. Lizi Karoin Be'alma Shehei Lo Yoim Cholik Mishar Yomim Sheloi Tishtakech Mimenu Torah Shabbos. So, let's just make things 100% clear here. Everyone thought, starting at the beginning of last week's shir, that we had an ace down our sleeve. And the truth of the matter is, up our sleeve. And the truth of the matter is,
it's not.
That it's very, we are in a very strange, very, very hard situation right now. Why? Because we have the sheet of the Chazon Ish, which makes sense, but we're switching days. That means there are places where people in this room are going to want to travel, and we're going to tell you to keep Shabbos on the wrong day. And not only on the wrong day, the communities there are going to be keeping it on Saturday, and you're going to be keeping it. So then we have Rav Kasher coming and telling him, do whatever they do. And the only way to justify Rav Kasher was based on this Gemara and Shabbos. But we see that the overwhelming majority of Rishonim, if not all the Rishonim, understand that this Gemara is just a Zikaron Ba'alma. It's like the reason we do Sfiras HaOmer according to many Rishonim, just so we don't forget to do it back then. There's no real Shabbos here. So you're going to tell me I could pick an artificial day by the dateline because the Gemara already says there's something called an artificial Shabbos. No. Come to Rishonim, there's no artificial Shabbos. Shabbos is the seventh day. What the Rabbeinu Shalom decided was the seventh day. Over here, we do it so you don't forget about Shabbos, which means how in the world would anyone argue that Rav Kasher, how does anyone argue that we could follow the international dateline the way the Ummos HaOlam have it, and that's what we will try to defend, Mirtz Hashem, next week, if you still have some more patience for it.
Six days, but you lost track.
Yeah.
No idea what time it is.
I just realized
it's the same day. It's international date.